Welcome to the SwampSwamiSports.com audio podcast. It was a Sunday of home court advantages. Three major sports events were held on Sunday afternoon and evening. The assembled crowds were solidly behind one primary participant. They cheered relentlessly from start to finish for their favorite, and as you might have guessed, Sunday's overwhelming crowd favorites won in each case. First, let's go to Omaha, Nebraska, the northern home of the Men's College World Series champion LSU Tigers baseball team. The Midwestern city of Omaha, Nebraska should be designated as the unofficial sister city of Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Sunday's College World Series final game between the LSU Tigers and Coastal Carolina was yet another matchup between two very evenly matched baseball teams. The Tigers entered Sunday's game with a 52-15 record. The Chanticleers, a Rooster by the way, were an equally impressive 56-12. Charles Schwab Stadium in downtown Omaha holds about 25,000 baseball fans. Sunday afternoon's Game 2 of the College World Series featured yet another sellout crowd, but the stadium looked more like LSU's famed Alec Box Stadium, only with twice as many Tiger fans on hand. More than 20,000 wild and crazy purple and gold-clad LSU fans found tickets in order to pack the stadium Sunday afternoon in Omaha. Coastal Carolina was technically listed as the home team on the scorecard Sunday, but you would have never known that by watching this matchup on a very sunny and hot afternoon in Omaha. LSU had taken a hard-fought 1-0 victory in Saturday night's opening game of this best-of-three series. Tigers pitcher Cade Anderson pitched a 3-hit, 10-strikeout, complete game gem to carry his team to the Game 1 victory. The two teams returned to the field on Sunday afternoon's second game as temperatures reached the mid-90s and heat indices were over 100 degrees for the entire game. It was Omaha hot on Sunday, and that applied to the coaches and umpires in the afternoon game too. Coastal Carolina's head coach Kevin Schnall started the first inning out by giving the home plate umpire a lot of unwanted advice about calling balls and strikes. The coach was warned a few times by the umpire to mind his own business, but the dugout criticism continued. And the home plate umpire quickly ejected Coastal Carolina's coach when he came out of the dugout to express his opinions in person. The team's first base coach also received the old heave-ho after coming to his leader's defense. But it wouldn't matter in the end. Coastal Carolina did put up the first run on the scoreboard in the second inning, though, to take a 1-0 lead. But that's when the 20,000 LSU baseball fans really cranked up the noise. The LSU Tigers faithful really do love coming to Omaha, Nebraska. And local businesses in Omaha also love to see those thousands of fun-loving LSU baseball fans boosting the local economy during the College World Series. The massive crowd of Tiger fans chanting, "Go Tigers!" or "LSU! LSU!" as their favorite team rallied in the third inning to tie the game at one apiece. Then LSU added four more runs in the fourth inning to take a commanding 5-1 lead and hand Coastal Carolina's 6-foot-8-inch starting pitcher Jacob Morrison, who's now 12-1, his very first loss of the year. LSU starting pitcher Anthony Ionson scattered 7 hits, but his 9 strikeouts kept Coastal Carolina off balance for much of the afternoon. A 2-run home run by Coastal's Wells Sykes cut the LSU lead to 5-3 in the 7th inning, but that's when Tigers reliever Chase Shores entered the game, along with his 100-mile-per-hour fastball. The thunderous LSU crowd roared its approval with every single strike. Shores struck out 4 of the 8 batters he faced in a scoreless relief appearance to preserve a 5-3 win for the LSU Tigers. That makes the Pelican State the nation's best for college baseball in 2025. Sunday's win over Coastal Carolina brought LSU their 8th baseball national championship and 2nd in 3 years. And Louisiana may legitimately claim to be the nation's top state for college baseball right now. LSU's latest title, plus LSU Shreveport's amazing 59-0 NAIA championship season, have put the Bayou State solidly atop the college baseball world. Now our second story about a loud home crowd. This one pushes Ryder Cup captain Keegan Bradley to victory in Hartford. If you're a golf fan, you knew what was going to happen on Sunday afternoon. So I changed my TV channel right after that LSU baseball game to watch the closing holes of the PGA's annual event in Hartford, Connecticut. New England's own Keegan Bradley had pulled within one shot of faltering Tommy Fleetwood with just one hole left to play. The 39-year-old Keegan Bradley had already been selected to be the captain of September's Ryder Cup matches at Bethpage Black Golf Course outside of New York City. And the huge New England crowds in Hartford had already been saluting America's fiery Ryder Cup captain and local favorite as he played each of the previous 71 holes. Chants of USA, USA added to the drama coming down the stretch. The final group in Sunday's round in Hartford featured Great Britain's hard luck Tommy Fleetwood, Keegan Bradley, and PGA veteran golfer Russell Henley. Tommy Fleetwood, who's a seven-time winner on the European Tour, led by three shots with just four holes to go. He was seeking his very first victory in 84 attempts on U.S. soil. Fleetwood, who is a two-time Ryder Cup winner for the European team, has struggled to close out golf tournaments while he's playing in the United States. U.S. Ryder Cup captain Keegan Bradley had slowly pulled within one shot of the fading Fleetwood, who had bogeyed two of the three final holes as they stood in the fairway of the 18th hole Sunday afternoon. Tommy Fleetwood's second shot from the fairway, from just 145 yards out, fell a few feet short of the 18th green, leaving him with a 50-foot chip or putt. Then thousands of New England golf fans roared their approval after Keegan Bradley's second shot into 18 stopped less than 6 feet short of the hole. Bradley now had a great chance of catching Fleetwood and forcing a playoff. Unless Tommy Fleetwood's third shot on the 18th hole rolled up to about 6.5 feet short of the hole. And it was still his turn because Fleetwood's golf ball was now outside of Keegan Bradley's. The massive greenside gallery groaned as Fleetwood missed his par putt and settled for a bogey. But then the huge crowd went absolutely nuts, chanting more of the USA, USA, after Keegan Bradley rolled in a birdie putt to flip the script and take a one-shot victory on Sunday afternoon. Ryder Cup captain Keegan Bradley now is number 8 on the Ryder Cup points list as a player, and the top 6 point getters automatically qualify for the team. Bradley could become America's first playing captain since Arnold Palmer did it back in 1963. Runner-up, again, Tommy Fleetwood was, again, disappointed after squandering the lead in the final 3 holes. He said, quote, "I'd love to, you know, just go and sulk somewhere, and maybe I will, but there's just no point in making it into a negative for the future. Just take a few positives and move on." One positive for Tommy Fleetwood was the runner-up money of more than $1.7 million, and he's now earned more than $30 million on the PGA Tour without a win. The popular but hard luck Tommy Fleetwood does lead the PGA Tour, though, in that category. And finally, it's OKC, OKC, OKC. I got it. Topping off Sunday's home crowd fanatics were the 18,000 blue-clad fans at Oklahoma City's Paycom Arena for game number 7 of the NBA Finals. The Oklahoma City Thunder and the very gritty Indiana Pacers had battled for 6 games to a 3-3 tie. The first half of Sunday night's Game 7 in OKC featured a continuation of this rock'em sock'em robots battle on the hardwood. The frenzied home crowd stood on their feet for the duration of Game 7, chanting OKC, OKC, ad nauseum, I might add, throughout Sunday night's very tense game. Indiana led at halftime by a very slim 48-47 advantage. During the first half, Indiana's top guard, Tyrese Halliburton, who was already struggling with a calf injury, suffered a season-ending Achilles tendon injury in the first half. Ouch. The loss of Halliburton would not help Indiana's chances of coming out with a win on the road in Game 7. The home team and their very exceptionally loud crowd turned up the defensive heat in the third quarter as Oklahoma City took a 13-point lead entering the final frame. Indiana turned the ball over 9 times during that decisive third quarter, and the Pacers finished on the wrong side of a 21-7 turnover margin during Game 7. Oklahoma City briefly increased its lead to 20 points early in the fourth as the fans roared their approval. Indiana never came within 10 points in the final minutes this time in losing 103-91. The Oklahoma City Thunder won their first NBA title since moving from Seattle to the Sooner State in 2008. OKC went 68-14 in the NBA's regular season this year and won the NBA's Western Conference by an amazing 16 games over second-place Houston. Home television viewers, though, didn't seem very interested in watching a couple of Mid-America's best teams playing in the NBA Finals. The NBA's television ratings for the first six games of the finals were the lowest since 2007's San Antonio Spurs swept Cleveland 4-0. The first six games of the OKC versus Indiana series have averaged less than 9.5 million home viewers apiece. But that didn't matter on Sunday night, at least to the home crowd, the very hungry home crowd in Oklahoma City. The Thunder, buoyed by those frenzied fans, found another level of energy during the second half to give OKC its very first major sports title. Sports fans in Omaha and Hartford and Oklahoma City are probably quite hoarse today. They got their money's worth on Sunday. I'm Swamp Swami.